Good morning and welcome. I'm the Reverend Rachel Campbell. I'm the minister at Trinity United Church here in Summerside. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. This is our final week of Lent. And as we continue into this time, we're remembering the light of Christ in the world. And one of the ways for us to share that light of Christ into the world is to recognize and to acknowledge and to welcome one another. So this morning, let us turn around, let us wave, let us say good morning, let us say welcome to one another. Even way at the back of the church there, welcome everyone. Good morning and welcome. And now we're not through Lent yet, but we are looking towards that. Next week is Holy Week, and there's many opportunities next week, starting with Palm Sunday, for us to come together. And from what I hear, it's the first time for Trinity to do services through Holy Week, which is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to come together. So those services will be all next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of all next week from Palm Sunday on. Now, I know we're told, don't rush through Holy Week. We really want to get to Easter, right? We really, really want to get to Easter as fast as possible. But this morning, I have a reminder that we are getting close to Easter 2021, and Ellsworth Campbell shared this with me. It says, Happy Easter 2021, Reverend Rachel. I think it's pretty beautiful. And Ellsworth is not rushing me to Easter, but he's given us a reminder that there is hope and that there is light. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. Christ candle as a sign and a symbol of Christ's presence with us. And as we enter into spring together, let us share in the words of the call to worship. During this time of Lent, we are reminded of the many paths that lie before us, with so many paths to choose. Guiding one, help us so that we may hear your word in worship this day, so that we might recognize you more clearly as you come to us in the coming weeks. Guide us as we walk your path of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus Christ is waiting, waiting in the street. Jesus, I am angry too.
The gathering prayer. Faithful and loving God, give us courage and strength for the journey before us. Give us so that we may discern your path of love. Send us your Holy Spirit to be with us as we move towards, draw us close to you and your ways so that we may not stumble. Together we pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Some people wanted to see Jesus. The disciples showed these people where Jesus was teaching. When a seed is planted in the ground, it dies so a new plant can grow with many more seeds on it, Jesus said. Why was Jesus talking about seeds? He explained. It's time for God's promise to come true. I will die and come alive again. Many people will serve and follow me. The people asked Jesus how they could serve him. Follow me, said Jesus. I will show you how to help and care for others. Just then, a voice as loud as thunder said, It's time for me to keep my promise. Jesus told the people it was God speaking. God says it's time to follow me. After Jesus finished teaching, some people began serving and helping others. They were following Jesus.
Most of you probably know what compost is. Eventually, compost looks a lot like dirt or soil. When we put it on our plants, it helps them to grow better. A lot of compost is made of our old food. So let's say you have leftovers at supper time. If you wanted to make compost, you would put the leftovers in your compost bin. The next year, when you planted vegetables in your garden, you'd put some of that compost on them. So compost is old food that helps new food grow. Pretty cool, huh? Today's Bible story is called Serve and Follow. Doesn't really sound like a story about plants, does it? But Jesus talks about a seed, a plant, and a promise to teach some people and us. Do any of you have gardens in your backyard or maybe in your neighborhood? What grows there? How does compost sound to you? Does it sound gross, kind of cool, or both? Can you think of anything that helps your faith grow? Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for all the things that help grow. We thank you for the rain, the sun, and the farmers. We also thank you for the things that help us to grow in faith. We thank you for our friends, our teachers, and our family. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, dear God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of my fondest memories of my dad was going back to the woods with him to prepare for the next winter season, to get our wood out for the following year. With two wood-burning stoves to keep our farmhouse warm in the winter, and living on a property with a good-sized woodland, going to the woods was part of our yearly ritual. My father was very old school about the land, very respectful of the land. Trees were selected, cut, blocked, split, and then left to dry. Usually, we would go back ahead of time and pick out an area that was overgrown or had blown out by storms. And by thinning out some of the trees, the land kept healthy, the land kept happy. Planning was at the forefront, and within that planning came great care and great respect. If anyone has ever gone to the woods, you know that the work is hard, and the chainsaw seems almost hypnotic. And being outside all day, you knew that night you would have a good night's sleep. In today's gospel lesson, I hear words of reassurance, confirmation, and revelation. Recognizing such themes takes me back to the time spent in the woods with my dad. The reassurance that the harvest from the woodland, what was needed, those were harvested. What was needed And in doing so, the area did get the care and support and room to grow that it needed. That was the reassurance. The confirmation was that the harvest that was taken would be used for needed warmth and future sustainability. That was the confirmation. The revelation is that from all of this, there would be gained wisdom and a good night's sleep. In John 12, verse 23 to 24, we hear this from Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Over the last week, I kept thinking and discerning these words from Jesus. This little snapshot reminds me of the many parables that Jesus has shared over his ministry. And at this point in the story, that should grab your attention. When Jesus shares any parable-like story, it is because he is talking beyond the story. He's talking beyond the story. He is using this amazing teaching technique of sharing parables to grab us and bring us into the story. The story becomes attainable. It invites us into this journey, into the story, beyond the story. It's more than just a pile of wood. We become part of the story. The use of parables always tells us to pay attention, because there's more happening here. So pay attention. As soon as Jesus starts using parables, I start to look for glimmers of truth, lessons to be learned, and any shared wisdom. I look for deeper meaning every time that I'm invited into a parable. What is the deeper meaning for me today? What is the deeper meaning for you today? And we know that at this point in the gospel lesson, here we are in our last week of Lent, and in this time and in this journey, as we continue into Lent, Jesus is facing the cross. And here we stand with Jesus today. Jesus is talking about what will be revealed as he journeys to the cross. And throughout Lent, in this sanctuary, the cross has been present. And we're drawing closer to it and closer to it. I can't help but think about the life cycle of the grain of wheat, that this life cycle of this grain of wheat is what Jesus will experience. As part of that experience, he and his followers will be involved in moments of reassurance, confirmation, and revelation. But to get to that point, they need to prepare for the loss. There will be loss. And they need to truly prepare for that. They need to do this in order to see past the loss. When we were approaching a pandemic a year ago, we knew there was going to be loss, but we needed to prepare through the loss and past the loss in order to continue to be able to do the ministry of this church. And you did that. And you did that. That is where the story of the grain of wheat comes in, and it is to grab our attention. Jesus is saying the loss you think you will witness and feel is not a loss in the sense of forever gone. The death is only part of the story. The loss and death is actually the beginning of a new story, a new life revealed, a new way of being. In the story of the grain of wheat, what falls into the earth, death is only part of the journey. The grain of wheat in and through death will bear much fruit, new life. So how does this affect you and I today? We are being asked to look at things in deeper ways in this text and to evaluate what we need to let go of, what we don't have control of, what is cluttering our lives, what is the nonsense that is around us, and then ask, who are we serving? Who are we following? What are we serving and what are we following? Maybe we are being asked to make space in our lives in order to bear much fruit in new ways. Maybe this past year has been an opportunity for us to do that. And this space that we have created and continue to create is in order for that fruit to offer us new life. Life of reassurance, life of confirmation, and life of revelation. In order to get there, we have to journey through the initial loss. But the loss is not an end. It's just part of the journey. It's part of the story. The crucifixion is part of the story. It's part of the journey. But it's not the end. The resurrection, it's part of the story, it's part of the journey, but it's not the end. The ascension is part of the story, it's part of the journey, but it's not the end. We are here today as part of the story, as part of the journey, and it certainly is not our end. This text reinforces that it's not the end. And again, it lifts up the theme of reassurance and confirmation and revelation. And if I have you saying those three words all the time through this week, then I've done my job today. And because we hear that. We hear that in Jesus' words. It's who Jesus was and it is who Jesus is. John 12, verses 28 to 30 states, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said, oh, it must be thunder. Others said, oh, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, the voice has come for your sake, not mine. The journey that we are on in this time of Lent reveals to us a deeper wisdom in what it means to follow and what it means to serve. What it means to see new life in a new way. And to allow the veil to be lifted. To see beyond the story. Walking on firm foundations that are full of rich teachings of Jesus Christ. So that we can make room to be fruitful. So that we can make room for the new life. So that we can make room for all. All glorious gods. Amen.
Foundation, we serve as a Good morning. Our gifts for mission and service and our gifts for emergency appeals support people recovering from disasters and crises. Here's a story of one recovery project through M&S. In the Philippines, Typhoon Haiyan destroyed homes, farms, communities, and livelihoods in November of 2013. Immediately after the storm, Mission and Service partner, the United Church of Christ in the Philippines, or UCCP, began working with the affected communities to meet emergency needs for shelter, food, and water. UCCP leaders were also planning long-term for how the church could work with community members to rebuild better homes, reestablish communities, and restore people's livelihoods. Much of the year-long work has already been completed. There's still some to be done. Losing their boats meant fishers could not earn a living or provide daily food for their families. With the support of the people of the United Church of Canada through mission and service, and through extra support through the emergency appeal of the church, UCCP has been able to replace some of those fishing boats, restoring hope to many communities. In farming communities, UCCP has introduced a new variety of rice that requires less fresh water and responds well to traditional and readily available fertilizers. In other communities, UCCP is lighting the way with micro-solar power units that can provide enough energy for basic household lighting. If you've been giving regularly to Mission and Service, you're a part of these projects which are helping people in dire times. If it has not been a part of your regular giving, perhaps you would consider it. Even setting aside your least coin, your nickels, would add up to make a difference if earmarked for mission and service. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for reminding us of the great work of the United Church of Canada, not only in our communities, and in our country, but around the world. And today we pause and we lift up all the contributions, all the time and the talent that are shared, that are volunteered. And we are not able to do offering in the way that we're used to doing offering at this time, but there are offering plates at both the entrance and exits. And also contact the office. We actually have 5 different options, and one of those might work best for you. So contact the office and see about one of the options in order to continue to offer gifts out into the world and to be Christ Church into the world. So today, for those who are able, please rise as we bless the offering that all of you bring. And please join me in prayer. Holy God, we lift up the gifts that we bring this day. As witnesses and disciples, we bring ourselves, our talents, our time, our resources. We bring all that we can in order to move the ministry of your church into your world. Amen. Loving God, we give thanks for your abiding presence. We are grateful for the many ways that, like a loving parent, we know that we are your beloved people. On this day, we lift up to you the many places in the world in need of love, a love that releases hurts, mends differences, and restores relationships. We pray for ways to find peaceful solutions to the conflict in all places in need of peace, and we pray for your reconciliation to be present in the hearts and minds of those in power to make change. In this time of pause and prayer, let us silently lift those names up who are on our hearts today, who are experiencing loss, illness, and a time of struggle. Let us silently pray. Loving God, you are in the silence. Creator God, you are present with us. And we give thanks for your loving presence. And in faith, we pray for justice, we pray for peace and healing in the lives of all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to thank our senior men's choir for being here today and offering us music again that just fills this place. There's just something about that sound that warms the hearts, opens the minds, and creates a space where we can just feel renewed. So let's give them a round of applause. And as you leave this place today, please remember to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, to be valiant and strong, but let all that you do be done out of love. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen.